Welcome to the conference call. Please announce yourself.
This call is interrupted. Please try again.
I think we need to try again.
Bridge with okay. Somebody else to.
Yes, I wonder.
It's gone. It's gone.
Yep. Somebody did something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Alex. That means that one of the participants is having a problem.
Yes, it does.
Can we ask, please, that if it happens again, everybody progressively puts their phone on mute?
Mute is not. What somebody's doing is inadvertently connecting themselves to another line, or they're putting us on hold, and they're bridging a line into this, then they can't get rid of.
Yeah. Bruce, this is Mark Snyder. Can I make a comment on this problem?
Yes, go ahead, Mark.
From the dialect in which the Dutch is spoken, I think this is somebody from Belgium that is causing this. Could be Phil Shepard, maybe, or Paul Verhoef, I don't know.
Phil, it's between you and me. Let us get off the phone and get drunk, and the rest will sort it out.
Lose
30 paces.
Yeah, but let me propose something else. Instead of putting, perhaps we need to have a bit of a rule in the council that instead of putting people on hold, that if you can't be on the call, hang up and dial back in.
I second that.
Yeah, that would be useful. Put that out as a note later.
So back to the the elements of cost are the meeting rooms, two coffee breaks, the conference bridge, and the scheduling of a overhead projector so that PowerPoint presentations can be made. And that is a substantial cost, but it is something that we need to do.
Marilyn, Bruce, could I say something? It's Maureen.
Yeah, go ahead, Maureen.
Yep, Marilyn, I'm wondering if there's any way that we could make those presentations available to those of us who won't be able to be there. Could we have a link at all through a website, do you think, so that we could see what's happening? I'm speaking from a selfish perspective. I can't be there, but would sure like to be able to see as much of what's going on.
Yeah. I'm going to rain on everybody's parade for just a moment and tell you that probably Glenn and I are capable with an unlimited budget of organizing anything.
Fair enough.
And we did look at, it is possible that we could, I believe we can put a single ISDN connection. Again, it's a question of affordability. Looked at putting wireless in for all of the users, and I did that idea so that people who come have to focus on the work at hand and not do their email.
Right.
Besides the fact we couldn't afford it, we can put a line in the room in order to have access to the internet for one person. That is probably affordable, as I recall, Glenn.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
But then it comes down to can we arrange, and the PowerPoint presentations, to your question, for those who sign up ahead of time, their presentations can certainly be made available.
Okay, that would be fine. If it's not possible to do it live, just to get it in advance, would be great. Thanks.
Bruce, I would have a question for Melvin as well.
Yeah, go ahead, Thomas.
Yeah, Melvin, I still don't really understand who should be the participants of that meeting and whether we will send out invitation lists to the constituencies or whether we ask people to participate on it.
Right. That's an excellent question, and let me start out by saying I put your name down on the list already. But to be more serious, I think that's the conversation council needs to have. Glenn and I started out looking for rooms that would seat up to 100 people. And we did scale this back in terms of room size, partly because of cost and partly because we had not yet heard from some of you about how many people we could get there. I will tell you that I can count 25 people from the people I've talked to, but I can't count between 25 and 100 the remaining 75 people. It seems that you know, it's short notice, it's a commitment to do work, and I think my question would be to all of you is, how many do you guys think your constituency might be able to turn up?
I think it's partly a question of who the invite is to as well.
Yes.
So are we, I think what Tom was first asking is, are we inviting all members of constituencies as an invitation as opposed to who actually accepts the invitation? So is it correct, Marilyn, that this is an invitation for what, anyone in the GNSO or anyone in the ICANN community? What's the actual invite list?
So as the council, let's decide what the council recommends. I would think at a minimum you would want the invitation to be to the councillors, to their constituencies, and to the liaisons.
Right. So effectively, at a minimum, it's the entire GNSO in simple terms. So each constituency would put out an announcement on their list indicating that this event will be held and inviting people to participate.
Bruce, I think it may have to say space is limited.
I just think that I think the number of people in each constituency that have the time and have had the chance to really review the strategic plan is probably limited anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's probably more, I think it's more a principle as to if we're going to invest GNSO funds in this, it should probably be an event that's open to the GNSO.
Right.
I'm not expecting you're going to get hundreds of people. It's really just the principle there.
Tom, does that help?
Yes, absolutely. Just one comment I want to follow up. Comment I want to make is that I would guess that most of the European registrars probably wouldn't have time to come due to the fact that there will be another conference like 3 or 4 days. Before that time, it's called the Domain Pulse, and it's hosted by the three German-speaking registries. And I guess I heard from a lot of them that they will be attending there, and I guess most of them don't have the time and more or less even money to attend another meeting so shortly after that.
So, Chris, could we perhaps ask just even a show of hands, so to speak, from the councillors on whether they would be able to attend?
Yeah. What I suggest I do, I'll just do a roll call, I'll just want to get a comment of, firstly, do you support the event? And secondly, would you be able to attend? So if I just do that, just to get a sense of it. So just starting with Philip Shepherd.
Yes.
Marilyn?
Yes.
Grant Forsyth?
Yes, I support it and am trying to arrange to attend.
Okay. Ken Stubbs?
Yes.
Kerry?
I support it, but my ability to attend would depend on the venue.
Okay. What would be your venue limitations then?
Easy flight in and out from Stockholm. The Amsterdam alternative is extremely attractive. The English countryside is a bit more of a logistic problem.
Okay. Philip Colebrook is on. Tony Holmes?
Yes, the ISPs in general support this, and yes, I could attend.
Okay. Greg Ruth?
Yes. No.
Okay. Robin Gross?
Yes, I support the event, but I'm not sure if I'd be able to attend or not. I'm not sure on how the funding works for that.
Okay. Mark Steiners?
I support the event, and I will be able to attend if it's in Amsterdam, because that's only 30 miles from me.
Okay. Ross Rayner?
I am in support, yes.
And would you be able to attend?
Yes.
Does it matter to you whether it's London or Amsterdam?
My preference is Amsterdam, but no real serious preference other than that.
Okay. Tom Keller?
I support it, and I'm not sure whether I can come, but I would say Amsterdam does make it more probable for me to come.
Okay. And when you travel, would you be going by train or...?
Yeah, probably.
That's why it makes sense.
Amsterdam would be more preferable from an expense standpoint.
Okay, some preferences, yeah. I support the event, but I won't be attending from Australia. The location, therefore, is not important to me. Lucy Nichols?
I support it, and I will be able to attend the first day only.
Okay.
And it sounds like you had a preference for London, or
no preference. Just that was just an offer.
Okay, thank you for that offer, Kyoshi. Okay, up there, Maureen Coverley.
Yes, I support the concept. I have a prior commitment on the 8th, but will participate remotely to the best of my ability.
Okay. Alec Wilson.
I support the concept. I will not be able to attend because I have a prior commitment in New Zealand. I'd like to add to that that I believe, on behalf of Demi, speaking for Demi, that I believe CAN funding should be available to provide funding for Demi to attend if he is available.
Right. Okay. Okay, so that gives you a sense there, I think, Meryl. I think basically there's strong support, in fact, unanimous support for holding the event. And I guess it sounds like there's at least 8 or 9 people on the council that believe they'll be able to attend.
And could I just quickly ask Philip to comment, or anyone else to comment from their constituency, you know, would you envision having more than 2 to 3 people from the constituency that could attend? I'm trying to get a sense if we have a room problem immediately.
This is Lucy. We've had, I think, 2 responses from people other than myself that said that they might be able to attend, but it's nothing firm.
Yeah, it did seem there was a bit of a preference for Amsterdam, too, from members of council. And I think the Amsterdam's probably coming from 2 perspectives. I think one is accommodation is generally cheaper for people travelling from overseas. And then I think for people in mainland Europe, it's easier to get to.
Well, then I might ask if we could, the ICANN staff, we're talking about the 7th and 8th, did look at other dates, but for a variety of reasons, this turned out to be the most feasible with the venues. Is it possible to have the ICANN staff confirm their availability and that they could participate on the 7th?
I think, Paul here, I think certainly from I can attend. To what extent we can have people coming out of Marine Zare, I guess we'll need to look into. We'll have to tell you later, but certainly I can certainly be there.
And Paul, if we could have a conference bridge available during the time that the presentation is going on, that would be helpful, or be your preference, so if people couldn't travel, they could at least be on the phone?
I guess a bridge can be set up. A lot of this, of course, also at some point has to do with funding. And I know that what you have in mind is using this little thingy which is left over. The question I want to raise is what you're going to do the year after. Because once the president is set and everybody thinks that this is a good event, there's going to be demand for more.
But, okay, so let me address that. I'm sorry, I thought I had. Participatory consultation, I think, to kind of follow on a comment that you made, a meeting that is held in conjunction, that's scheduled ahead of time and held in conjunction with an ICANN meeting, where the purpose of the meeting is consultation, and where we have had an opportunity to work with the constituencies, and there has been dialogue, you know, over a period of time, and then there's a face-to-face meeting held in conjunction with an ICANN meeting, I think could substitute for this in the future. That was
I think if I can clarify, my understanding, Paul, is that this is a rolling strategic plan that will be updated each year, roughly at the time of the annual meeting. Is that correct?
It's a rolling plan, and it'll certainly be updated sort of annually. Yes, exactly how in the beginning we will do it depends a bit, because this first exercise is drawing out much longer than we had anticipated.
Right.
Because it is the first time, but in principle, yes, it's going. It will converge, I think, towards an annual sort of thing.
schedule, start looking at scheduling time now at the relevant ICANN meeting. So we either do it in the Vancouver meeting or we do it in the Wellington meeting, but we actually schedule some time in either of those two meetings to talk about the strategic plan. And then you just sort of do it at an annual basis from there. So, yeah, the intent would be to, in future, make this coincide with an ICANN meeting. In this case, the next ICANN meeting is in April, but the, you know, the plan I gather from the ICANN board and staff is to get sign off on this first draft by the end of February. So that's the reason for the, if you like, out of schedule meeting.
Okay.
Okay. So I think we've sort of got agreement on the concept. I think there's a preference for Amsterdam. What I'd like to do is kind of draw the discussion to a close, but to get an agreement on a budget. Marilyn, what was your number that you've come up with so far?
So we're not repainting my house. We're only doing the meeting. I think the scenario that we came up with, if we're at 50 to 60 people, is probably around 4,000 euros if we're in Amsterdam. The Amsterdam Sheraton makes it just a little bit more expensive, not a lot, a little bit more expensive, and we can identify 3,800 with no 3,800 euros with no leeway. If we had a budget, a target budget of 4,000 euros, and if we go over that for a reason because we've got to expand the room or something like that, I think Glenn and our negotiations with the hotel, we need to be able to commit to 4,000, but we may end up with a discrepancy of 200 or 300 one way or the other, was what I was kind of understanding.
Yeah, well, if you want to just give yourself some leeway and make a budget of 5,000 then?
Yeah.
So you're going to make... So 5,000 euros is... the people comfortable using that currency as a measure? It's, I think, for those...
We have to use... That's got the bill to come in.
Yep. Okay, so do you want to propose a motion then that the council approve a budget of 5,000 euros?
I think actually someone else should make that motion.
This is Lucy. I move that we have a budget of $5,000 for this particular project.
Just make sure we specify the currency. So are we talking US dollars?
Oh, I'm sorry, 5,000 euros.
Okay.
I'll second that, Bruce.
Okay.
Sorry, who seconded?
Sorry, what was that?
Who seconded?
That was Ross.
Ross Rader. Okay, I'll put that to a vote, and I'll just start with Philip Shepherd.
Yes.
Marilyn Kane.
Yes.
Grant Forsyth.
Yes.
Ken Stubbs.
Yes, and yes for Philip Colbert too.
Okay, Kerry Carp. We might have lost Kerry. Tony Holmes.
Yes.
Sorry, who was that?
Kerry. Screaming yes at the top of his voice.
Good. Tony Holmes.
Yes.
Greg Ruth.
Yes.
Robin Gross.
Yes.
Mark Schneiders.
Yes, and Carlos Alfonso also yes.
Okay, thank you. Ross Rayner.
Yes.
Tom Keller. I will vote yes. Lucy?
Yes.
And
yes for Nicholas Largren.
Okay. Maureen Cubberley?
Yes.
Alec Wilson?
Yes, and yes for Demi Gitzko.
Okay. Okay. Well,
Bruce, sorry. Can Tony Holmes vote for Tony Harris, please?
Yes. Tony, you have Tony Harris as proxy.
Yes, for Tony Harris.
Okay.
And nobody has a proxy for Kiyoshi?
Doesn't sound like it. That's okay. The motion is passed. Just moving on to the next item on the agenda.
is the, I think the issues report. But do you want to perhaps introduce that topic, Philip Shepherd?
Thank you, Bruce. This followed a discussion we had in Cape Town, in which the issue of problems with the automatic request for expiring domain names from registrars to the registry was aired. It was indicated this was causing some difficulties sometimes because of the volume of those transactions and therefore knock-on effects to the service level that able to be provided. I originally drafted a resolution to suggest simply that we do the first thing, which is study it a bit more by way of requesting an issue report from the ICANN staff manager.
That for the semester, so I have three classes from the school. I got three classes to teach, which is good.
Somebody's on this call that shouldn't be talking about classes.
Absolutely.
Dad?
I think you're inadvertently bridged into a conference call that probably is not a topic of interest to you. We are.
Right, keep
going. Well, that was fun. I can keep going. Okay. Anyway, so the suggestion was that I had done an original resolution to suggest that perhaps we simply go for an issues report so that we can all learn a bit more about it, and having read the issues report, then take a decision whether or not we need to go for a PDP. I indicated in my original resolution I was happy for friendly amendments to that. Those friendly amendments were received, and the resolution now before you is making it very specific that we're just at the moment, for the purpose of an issue report, making the suggestion that we're looking at that, if you like, that demand side, the slamming effects that's happening here. And as you'll see in the later agenda item, there's a suggestion that we may also perhaps just study more and ask some questions in terms of the subsequent effects and what is happening to those names in a way it's sold. So I think a useful distinction in terms of those two issues surrounding this wider phenomena. I'm very happy with the proposed wording, I think, that came as a result of the thinking by Ross and subsequently Bruce's drafting. To propose that as an amended resolution for council to consider and hopefully go ahead with the debate.
Okay. Someone like to second that resolution?
I'll do so. It's Maureen.
Okay. Thank you, Maureen. Are there any questions or comments on the resolution? Okay.
Yeah, Bruce, I have one real quick question.
Yep. Okay.
We're referring here at the very beginning of the resolution, whereas high demand amongst registrars on behalf of their registrants. I'd like to make sure that, in effect, this demand is in effect being created as a result of the request of registrants. You know what I'm saying, for all intents and purposes. In other words, I think that's one of the issues that needs to be discussed if we're going to have an issues report, and that is exactly what's the motivation for creating this demand.
Yes, I think that certainly would be something that we'd like to see addressed in the issues report, yeah. Okay, any other...
Yes, I do have a question. I just want to can something. I thought, Ken, you may not think it's clear enough, but I thought the first sentence did that, whereas the high demand amongst registrars on behalf of their registrants. Does that address your concern?
Well, it's not a matter of a concern. It's a matter of you're making a statement of fact or perceived fact.
Oh, I got it. Thank you. Got it.
Yeah, I think what Ken's saying is sort of understanding why there is that demand.
Got it.
Yeah.
which is partly the kind of the next issue on the agenda, that the demand is in some ways created by a secondary market. But I think the reasons why there's such a demand for particular names is worth considering. Yes.
Would it make sense at this point, Bruce, more in here, to omit that phrase because it does limit the intent of this particular resolution?
I don't think so, Maureen, because I think it's really saying that there is definitely a problem at that registry with lots of registrars going after names. And I think, so that is a statement of fact. And then I think what we're saying is that as part of the issues report is trying to understand why there is that demand. That, you know, that's one of the issues.
Okay, Mark. Yes, I understand. I'm wondering, though, if by including that clause on behalf of the registrants, we are stating that the high demand is exclusively because of...
Okay, I see what you mean. So you're saying if you just say where is the high demand amongst registrars,
mm-hmm.
and then omit on behalf of their registrants.
Exactly, because that does narrow it where I think we want to look at a couple of scenarios, do we not?
Okay, does that meet your needs, Ken?
That makes sense. What we're asking for here is an issues report as to
yep.
the nature of what's creating the high demand and how it's being managed, et cetera, I guess.
Okay. Are you okay with that amendment, Philip Shepherd?
Yes, I am.
Yep. Okay. So that will now read, where is the high demand amongst registrars to register specific domain names that become available for re-registration, etc. Okay.
Yeah, Bruce, there is one thing I would like to make an ancillary comment that relates to this process at this point in time. I think you made a very poignant observation on the ICANN staff's taxing workload. So I'd like to make sure that we acknowledge that. We don't necessarily need to do that here in the form of the resolution, but I think we need to recognize this process that, for all intents and purposes, there's a significant workload on the ICANN staff, and I think we have to have a realistic set of expectations in terms of what we're asking them for and the time parameters. I don't know whether Kurt's still on the call or not, but I think that it doesn't hurt at this point in time to recognize the burdens that he is carrying right now. Thank you.
This is Barbara. Can I speak to that for a moment?
Yeah, go ahead, Barbara.
When this issue was first raised on the council list, we actually began to speak about it within staff, and so there's a recognition within staff that this is going to require a sort of joint effort across, you know, many of us to put together an appropriate issues report. And so I think that there's already a recognition within staff that this is something that requires a certain kind of expertise and participation that crosses over several different people.
Okay. Any other comments?
I do have one comment. It's really more in the nature of a question. I don't recall, I should, but I don't, what the elements of an issues report, I know we have it specified in Annex A, and I will go look at it. I do think that probably the council has, various councillors may have some things in mind about what would need to be covered, such as what are the kinds of complaints that are being received, et cetera, as well as what's creating it. I'm very much in support of this resolution, but I might just like to make a parenthetical request to the staff that once we have a chance to look in more detail at what the issues report incorporates, that we can make sure there's agreement between the staff and the council that, you know, they're going to be presenting an issues report to us which is inclusive of those things we have in mind, so that we don't end up asking people to do double work or redo work.
Yeah, Bruce, this is Kurt. May I talk?
Yeah, go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, it's sorry about that. My answer, I hope I don't trigger any recordings by getting calls on the other line. The answer I was going to make to the first question, I think, sort of answers Marilyn's concern, too, and that is that in order to respond to this, this resolution, I think I can would like Marilyn said, go back and look at the complaint via email and voicemail that it's received, and sort of compile them and sort them in some sort of meaningful style so that we can quantify the sorts and types of complaints. And then secondly, we would solicit input from, as Barbara suggested, solicit input from registries and registrars as to the extent of the effect of these activities that they have on their business operations. So what I would suggest is that we would embark on doing that and then provide a briefing to the council. So it may, you know, I'm also with Marilyn here, it may or may not rise to definition of what an issue paper is, but what we would do is provide a briefing that is based on the input of the registrars, registries, and our analysis of our various email account databases, so that then we can determine, you know, whether that needs to be augmented into an issuer's report or how it could be best augmented into an issuer's report.
Bruce, this is Russ. May I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead, Russ.
If only to throw another log on the fire there for you, Kurt. In looking at that output, whatever form that we agree that should take, from my personal perspective, I always find it very useful to understand what the touch points are with policy. So anywhere that the staff can relate this back to existing contractual conditions and consensus policy, et cetera, would be extremely useful in getting me up to speed and understanding what these issues are.
Yes. Does the issues report, and it might pop off and take a look at it, maybe online. I think I'm trying to remember if the issues report then comes in with the identification of what part of the relevant bylaws or policy would be affected.
Part of this is, I suppose, reading some of the outputs from the GNSO review, because I think in both the council report and also the external report, there was a bit of discussion about the sorts of inputs that are required. But in essence, it does ask the general council to decide whether there is any ICANN policy issues. But it doesn't go as far as saying what specific agreements and contractual things are affected. So I think what we're looking at is probably a bit more depth going forward in these issues reports, to address, the issues of what's in the existing agreements and has been in the past, because in some cases, I think, giving a classic example would be, say, the 15-day rule and who is. Over time, there's been a lot of misunderstanding and discussion around that point. And that's the sort of thing that's, when we've had discussions about who is, what hasn't necessarily been clear is what are the existing requirements, let alone what should the new ones be.
Exactly, and that's what I meant about,
So the issues report in the bylaws doesn't go into that level of depth. We're only talking about a couple of paragraphs in the bylaws that describe what an issues report is. I think it needs to describe, what the issue is, what are the affected stakeholders, and then also, what are the ICANN policy issues. In other words, is it within scope of the ICANN mission to look at this?
Hi, Bruce, can you put me in the queue, please?
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I think one other thing, and I have to apologize because it's been a while since I've seen an issues report. I think we have to take a look at materiality. By that, I mean that we're talking about, we need to find out what the relationship is to, let's say, complaints to volume. I think it's extremely important, if we're talking, I think that's part of the scope, because policy implies that there is a need for it, and the need can be measured by the materiality of the impact of the policy and what would happen if a specific policy was enacted or enforced, as opposed to, let's say, operational changes or so forth. So that's why I'm at least introducing that thought pattern into this discussion.
Yeah. And what I think we should do, I don't want to take too much more time on this call because we're running out of time, but ICANN is in the process of appointing new or additional policy development staff, and I think now is a good time to review and discuss what the expectations around an issues report are. And I think I'd like to sort of take that offline as a separate discussion, perhaps. If the council approves this resolution we use, this is the first example of a new issues report, and we perhaps get some ideas from councillors saying what do they need in an issues report to help them make a decision on whether or not policy development should be initiated. So I think that's take that offline as a kind of email list discussion and pick that up separately. But I think it's a very good discussion to have is to just get more clarification on what the contents and the expectations would be on an issues report. So what I'd like to do is put this motion to the vote.
If I may, Bruce, sorry,
go ahead,
I did have one further request for amendment on this, and I apologize for not getting this back to the list. The last sentence in the first whereas is always given me great discomfort, and I think it's more of a matter of form and not substance, but it would ease my mind greatly if we could rephrase that without referring to the capability to manage business efficiently. And simply leave it somewhere along the lines of has led to unforeseen strains on the infrastructure, on the registration system, or something a little bit more vague than what it is there currently.
If it would read has led to unforeseen impacts on the infrastructure of the registration systems of registries and registrars.
That would address my concerns 100%.
Yeah, I think that would be fine.
I can accept that as a friendly amendment.
Thank you, Philip.
Thank you,
Philip. Just restate that one for me, Marilyn, just so I got that clear.
I think I said it has led to unforeseen impact and strain on the registration infrastructure of registries and we probably need to say GTLD registries and registrars.
Yes, that makes sense. Okay. And you've got that, Glenn?
Yes, thanks, Bruce.
Okay. All right, are there any other changes to the motion? Okay, I'll now go ahead and call for a vote. Philip Shepherd?
Yes.
Marilyn Kane?
Yes.
Grant Forsyth?
Yes.
Ken Stubbs?
Yes.
Kerry Cart?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Now, I think, is Philip Colbrook given his proxy to Ken, is that right?
Yes, for
Philip. Okay, thank you. Tony Holmes?
Yes, and yes for Tony Harris.
Thank you. Greg Root? Is Greg Reed. He's also given the proxy to Tony Holmes.
Yes, for Greg Ruth.
Okay. Robin Gross?
Yes.
Mark Schneiders?
Yes, and Carlos Alfonso also yes.
Thank you. Ross Rayner?
Yes.
Tom Keller?
Yes.
I will vote in favour. Lucy Nichols?
Yes. And yes for Nicholas Logren.
Okay. Kiyoshi, still not online. Maureen Cubberley?
Yes.
Alec Wilson? It looks like Alec might have dropped off. Okay. In any case, and I think Demi is also unavailable, but that carries the motion. So we'll note that motion is passed. The next item is, I guess, dealing with the second part of Philip's initial discussion is sort of what's happening in the transfer of domain names between registrants, which may happen either after they've been collected as a result of the leak process, or could be happening in the period between expiry and deletion, which was raised in an announcement from ICANN on the 21st of September. In this particular issue, before we commission an issues report, my feeling is... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm terribly sorry. I have a small point of order here. There's a possibility that you may require a vote on the next issue. I have to catch a plane, so I'm going to pass my voting authority along with Philip's proxy over to Kerry Karp. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Okay, I think you can. And I think, also given the time we have in this meeting, if perhaps I could just ask the ICANN staff whether they have any further information since their announcement on the 21st of September on issues that have been raised by the by either registrars or registrants or others in the community.
Not much. We haven't received complaints from, you know, we're going to go back through emails and voicemail. We haven't received noticeable level of complaints from registrants regarding the change that the change made to registrant agreements that allow the acquiring of these names by registrars. We're in consultation with others to determine the effects of, you know, looking back to the first issue that was raised just prior to this one, the effects of that on that market. And as you know, Bruce and others there, that's a topic of active conversation that we're having in the registrar and registry constituencies.
Well, we hope there was a result of this.
Is to go back and reaffirm or see or measure the level of complaints we've seen, or look at our complaints and see if this has been a source of concern amongst the registrant groups.
Yeah, I think what would help too, Kurt, is to give it a bit of context with the number of complaints you receive in other areas as well.
Yeah, of course.
I think what would be useful for the next council meeting is if the ICANN staff could present perhaps a report on the sort of complaints they've received, maybe just by sampling the complaints in the last couple of months, and perhaps a sample of complaints a year ago, just to get a sense of you know, what are the issues, whether is it transfers, is it deletes, what are the main complaint areas, because if you just say, you know, we've had 10 complaints in this area, but that's out of 200,000 complaints, so you need to have a bit of context.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Bruce, I must also leave the call and would like to leave my proxy with Thomas, please.
Okay, thank you, Ross.
Thank you.
So I think what we'll do is we'll pick up this discussion on the secondary market and complaints in that area, along with complaints more generally at our next meeting. On the transfers policy, again, we've sort of run out of time on this call with a few interruptions, but I know the ICANN staff had are starting a process of review here, and I think there was questions on you know, what the council would be expecting as part of that review process. I think we're probably running out of enough people on the call to deal with that issue effectively, so I might carry that over to the next call as well, but also ask council members to consider what sort of input from the ICANN staff would be useful for council in its consideration of the review of the transfers policy.
Bruce, would you just say, Marilyn, would you just say a couple more words, please, about, you know, review of the transfers policy, meaning that in the implemented transfers policy, but this is a sort of a status report and what should be covered in the status report?
Yeah, that's right. In the transfers, what the GNSA Council originally approved in the case of transfers was that
the council would review the policy at, I think, 3, 6, and 12 month intervals.
Right.
And so the staff is complying with that request.
Right.
And so they've done a formal call or an announcement that they're seeking input from the community on the effectiveness of the policy, and it's very early days. I mean, it was only implemented in November. But I think what the staff was seeking was some guidance from the council on just what that that report should contain. So you know, I'd suggest if council members can think about that, and we can provide a bit of input on the list.
And Bruce, this is Tina.
Yeah.
We're also a little bit curious about what you're going to do with the report and how you're moving forward on making potential changes, just because we have a review again, or a report due again in 3 months from now, and so it's important that it's possible to end the review of the first report before we start the next one and so forth.
Yes.
So it's just to have a little active discussion and communication on that topic.
Yeah, I think that's valid, and it may be that the benefit is perhaps a report at 3 months and a report at 6 months, and then the council looks and compares those two and decides whether you know, the policy needs to be changed. So my feeling is after 3 months it's probably difficult to commission changes because it's fairly early, but at least
right
measuring.
Now we don't really have any specific recommendations for policy changes, but we do have recommendations for changes into the language and the existing policy. So that might be fairly easy to resolve.
Right. And I guess also one of the things you might include in the report is some information on transfer disputes that have been filed so far.
Yeah, and we're getting that data from all the registry operators on January 20th. So we'll include that together with all the complaints that we've received from registrars and registrants as well.
Okay. Well, that sounds good so far. All right, and you know, the reason I'm just rushing this item is just because we've run out of time, not because it's not an important item. And the final item there is an update on staff recruitment. I wonder if Paul Verhoef could give a short update on that.
Yes, yes, Bruce, it'll take 30 seconds. Our HR manager is in negotiations with the two people who are going to mostly be working on the GNSO issues. We hope that it will be concluded soon. The junior of the two will likely be able to start almost immediately once that is concluded. The senior position person we have for that has a period with the current employer which needs to be fulfilled, and that is probably then going to run into early March. That's where we are.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Any questions for Paul on that?
I just make one comment that perhaps just as council had previously provided some suggestions on you know, what we kind of thought the job was looking at it from our perspective, perhaps we might ask the staff to think about how council can be most productive in helping to provide an orientation or a briefing or introduction, you know, into the SO and in particular into the council.
Yes, Marilyn, I think that's a good idea, and we will give it some further thought and see what we can do. There is one council member still on the call who is close at hand, and we'll probably have him come into the office sort of for 2 weeks long. And I'm joking, Philip. No, but we will think about this, how we can best do this. Obviously, that staff will need to get to know you all very quickly and the issues, and they need to, you know, also meet a whole range of staff, and we'll put together a package. We're doing this for all staff, a sort of induction sort of package, which gets them up to speed as quickly as possible. So this is all work in progress.
Yeah, in fact, one of the recommendations from the external reviewer for the GNSO was sort of stating that it needs to be clearer what the expectations are for policy support, and also, I guess, an agreement between the ICANN staff and the GNSO on the various aspects of that support. And I think
you know, the timing of appointing new people and the induction and orientation process is probably good to follow up on that recommendation and try and you know, put some things down in writing as to expectations and get that agreed as part of that process. So the council, so if you have a look at my response.
Yeah, that's right, Bruce. I've seen the response you put up, and I actually absolutely agree with that. And I think also today on the call there were a number of things where, like on the issues report, there are expectations there. I think that the whole thing needs to go into a package moving forward.
Yep. Okay. Any other business?
Well, there's just one last question I would have to Paul.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to know, out of curiosity, where the people, the two new people, will be located, in which office?
The two people we currently negotiated would both be in Brussels.
Okay.
This is not by design, but just by the fact that they were the two people who made it to the top of the list.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, at that point, we'll close the meeting then and thank everybody for attending.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.